senior writer and editor for TitansOnline.com. We're no longer neighbors, Jim. I just let you know. So there you go.
Neighborhood. What neighborhood are you in now?
We're in Woodbine.
Okay. That's a good spot. Okay.
Yeah, it's a coming. We're going to be part of the rebirth of Woodbine here.
That sounds great. Who lets Joe Dubin know when he's on vacation? How does he know the difference?
Man, coming strong, Jim.
Hey, yeah, that's attaboy, Jim. And it is a good question, but he usually gets here for most of the shows when he's not. So, anyway, mini camp wraps up, and I like what Vrabel did with the team. Take them to Top Golf. What more can you get done on that last day of mini camp than get somebody hurt, right? Well, you're not going to learn that much more. You're not going to get that much. Let's get better every day. Well, let's don't get hurt this day.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's what everybody's done, whether it's been Jeff Fisher or Mike Munchak or Ken Whisenhunt or Mike Mularkey. All those guys have treated that last day as a kind of a getaway day, and they've done different things. I do think that the thing you worry about on the last day when guys are having flights booked and ready to get out of town is that they're just not as in tune with what's going on, and you don't want guys to get hurt. So I thought that was a good move, and I thought it was a good offseason. I mean, watched all the OTAs, watched a couple of days of mini camp, and I thought some guys really got some things done and set the stage for training camp.
Jim, this is Greg Ruff, and good to have you on. Congratulations to your Dodgers continuing to play well, by the way. Peyton Manning came to town, and with all the celebration of Steve McNair and Eddie George, and he talked with Amy Adams Strunk, and you I know you had a lot of interviews during that time. I want to go back. How close did he come to getting in ownership in the NFL, and is that something you think he's going to be involved with in the future?
I don't know about the ownership part. The main thing I remember about Peyton is how close he maybe came to coming here as a player.
Yeah.
The ownership part, I read a lot of stuff and saw it from afar. It wouldn't surprise me if that happened one day. It was cool seeing him. This is probably, I heard you guys talking about the Hall of Fame class. I guess the biggest surprise to me that he wasn't in the Hall of Fame mm-hmm. already. I mean, because he's had such a great career and a great life. It wouldn't surprise me if he pulls a John Elway, does something like he's done in Denver, because it's such a big part of him, and I don't get the sense he's a guy that enjoys just kind of sitting around looking for stuff to do.
Yeah, but, boy, I tell you what, I don't know how – part of me says he's too competitive for that position because I think he – I don't know. He is looking for things to do. I got a question. Just some certain players. I was looking at your – by the way, if anybody ever wants to ask Jim a question, you can just go to Ask Jim at TitansOnline.com. And, I don't have to because I could get him on the radio and ask him questions. But the very first one, Tyler Smith, Millington, Tennessee, down near Memphis – with Jeffrey Simmons recovering, who's going to play alongside Jarrell Casey in the interior in that rotation? And usually that interior, they rotate quite a bit anyway.
They do, but it's a position they need to have some guys be productive at because, a couple of guys recently, guys they brought in, whether it's, Benny Logan was one of them, Sylvester Williams is another one, guys that really were on the probably the back end of their careers when they got here. I just don't know that they produced like I think the team needed them to. And now you're kind of in a waiting game for Jeffrey Simmons to get healthy. I mean, he's going to be a monster when he plays. It's just a matter of when he plays. And I'm not sure he even plays this season. I mean, possibility you get him back at the end of the year, but he was drafted to help him down the road, which means they've got to get by without him this year, and the several guys in the mix there, they're going to have to step up and help. I do think they'll rotate guys. I think the key, with Dean Pease is they're going to have to also find other ways to generate pressure, and that's he did such a good job yesterday. You know, last year I should say, with incorporating the secondary and guys like Logan Ryan and other blitzers to make it happen. But this is going to have to be a defense that's going to have to not only have guys do their jobs when they're just rushing without blitzing, but I think you're going to see a lot of different looks to try to get pressure as well.
TitansOnline.com senior editor, writer Jim Wyatt, at J Wyatt Sports on Twitter.
Jim, goobers like us like to look at schedules in June.
Speak for yourself, goober.
I'm trying to bring you guys with me. But you look at those things. Man, you look at the Titans schedule, it looks tough. I mean, you think about and by the way, when is the last time a Cleveland Browns-Tennessee Titans game this early in the season had the potential to have playoff implications?
Yeah, I mean, and that's the big thing about Cleveland is whether or not you're facing into a good time or not. I mean, I think Cleveland, obviously, with everything they've done, is going to be much improved. I mean, they were much improved last year, but with all their new additions, when I saw the schedule come out, I saw Cleveland number one. I thought, okay, that's a tough game right out of the gate, and they're going to be jacked up with all their moves. And but I also thought, hey, if you're going to get them early, because it may take a while for some of this stuff to really gel and for them to get on the same page with all their big-name superstars and a new coaching staff. So that's an intriguing matchup out of the gate, but you got that one, and you got the Colts coming here. Mm-hmm. We all know about the Titans and how they have not had any luck against Andrew Luck. And then you go to Jacksonville, the team that will be chomping at the bit to beat the Titans, especially after what happened last year. And then it doesn't really get any easier from there. So it is a tough stretch, and I think if you're the Titans, you've got to get off to a good start to kind of try to build some momentum as the season goes on.
Jim Wyatt with us. Greg mentioned it earlier on, the retiring of number 9 Steve McNair, number 27 Eddie George, and those two going in together at the same time. I thought it was a really nice touch, and obviously something doesn't have to be done, but. And them going in together, I thought Eddie and Amy Adams really handled that the way it was presented, obviously, with Steve in passing.
Yeah, I did too. And, it's going to be a neat ceremony there when the Colts come to town. I mean, those guys, and I know everyone has said it, I know everyone knows it, but when you think about the Titans and you think about that era when the team first came to town and from 99 to 2003, went to the playoffs 4 times in 5 years, went to a couple AFC championship games, a Super Bowl. And when you think about the players of those teams, I mean, Eddie George and Steve McNair come to mind. I mean, you mentioned the mailbag. I can't tell you how many times I've had people send me questions about when this day may come. It got to be so many, I just couldn't include them all. I'd include one every, 6 months to a year. For it to finally happen, I think it's been very well received. I think Amy is obviously very well in tune with what the fan base wants and tries to honor, past stars of this team. So, Eddie's such a great ambassador for not only the Titans but for the city of Nashville and just the way he handles himself. And I know Steve McNair was the same way when he was with us and would be the same way if he's still living today. So I'm really happy to see that. I mean, it's hard to believe it's been so long since those guys played. Years just kind of flying by, but it'll be neat to see that at the stadium in September.
Well, and since Big Joe's on vacation, I know he's been on his high horse about Frank Wycheck and having his retired as well for the Titans. And, of course, the numbers may bear it out. If you look at just go by numbers between Eddie and what he did is in the running back group, with the entire league, Steve as well, he was a co-MVP. But Wycheck, I think he was 4th all-time when he retired, and now there's only – 7 tight ends to have 500 catches or more in NFL history. Frank with 505, Jason Witten, Shannon Sharp, Ozzie Newsome, Kellen Winslow, Tony Gonzalez, and Antonio Gates. All of those are either in or will be in the Hall of Fame. So I got to do it for Big Joe since he's on vacation. You got to retire number 89 too.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's dangerous because, especially when you look at Delanie Walker and what he's doing now, I mean, Delanie pretty much has broken all of Frank's records. So if you retire Frank, are you going to turn around and retire Delanie here when his career ends? I mean, I think that's when you've got to make tough decisions, and not taking anything away from Frank Wycheck, and he had a tremendous career. You know, when I look at those teams, again, Eddie and Steve are the ones who I think of first, and that's not
sliding
Frank. Yep. It's not sliding Javon Kurse. It's not sliding Brad Hopkins. It's not sliding any of the stars of that era. I think your faces of the franchise were Eddie George and Steve McNair. So, Frank had a tremendous career, but there's a tight end plan right now for the team, again, that has broken most of his records with the team. So, I don't know. If you do Frank, you better be ready to do Delanie Walker here, not too far behind him when his career ends.
And I agree, but I think a lot of what went into Eddie and Steve was the move, and Wycheck was part of the move as well, and that transition. But so anyway, rest my big Joe case. Okay, we'll do that. Jim Wyatt with us at J Wyatt Sports. He's the senior editor for TitansOnline.com.
I would add in that I would lean with Big Joe on this, just because, and just to add a piece to that, is that the era that he played in, though the tight end had become more prevalent, it's still, he helped create a different mindset with what a tight end could be in an NFL pro set in particular. I want to ask you about Mike Vrabel and what you've seen from him over his short time here, and he's been very impressive in a lot of ways, but what stands out to you as someone who has covered all the coaches here throughout the years?
Well, he's just such a different big personality, and again, I rolled through the list of all those previous coaches, and all of them are different in some way, and certainly Jeff Fisher, and you talk about the move. I can't say much. I think when you look back at him, I know he catches a lot of flack and some jokes about the 8-8s, but what he did during that stretch where they made the move from Memphis to knock, from Memphis playing at the Liberty Bowl to Vanderbilt, then playing at the stadium and then keeping that team together. I mean, it was really remarkable, and he did a great job of getting out in the community and kind of building the fan base. And certainly every coach that's come through has had a unique way about him. Mike Vrabel is as unique a guy that I've been around. Just, he seems like a player still when you watch him out on the field, and the way he runs with the other players, and the way he puts pads on and roughs them up a little bit. I mean, he's intense, and I think guys respect him just for the way he handles his business. He's very comfortable in his own skin. He's not worried about hurting people's feelings. He's not worried about calling guys out. I don't care if you're a veteran or whether you're an undrafted rookie. I mean, he's gonna be pretty outspoken, and he's not gonna try to hide his feelings. So he's got a unique approach. I think players obviously respect him a lot. And I think he'd really be a great coach. I mean, I just think he's got that presence about him that players are going to respond to. And I don't think it's just, it's going to ever get stale with him just because he's always pushing guys.
Jim, when you look back at the move, you mentioned it, and it's something I've been thinking about recently too. And Joe Dubin had a great tweet the other day. I hate to give him so many props when he's not here, but talking about when you tell people that we used to have an amusement park and we got rid of it and added a mall, and that was several years ago. But when you tell people now that have been around here for a while but weren't here during the move, that the Titans actually moved from Houston, played in Memphis, and then played at Vanderbilt for a year, I mean, they just don't believe that actually happened. Has there been, when you've gone back and looked, has there ever been another situation in the NFL, or even for that matter pro sports, where a team has done anything similar to that?
I don't think we've had just such a long period of transition. I mean, the Raiders obviously going through a tough stretch now while they're exiting Oakland and making their way to Vegas and kind of in limbo. And I've seen situations like that, but never one where you're training in, Nashville at TSU for one camp, and then you're flying to Memphis to play your games, and then Vanderbilt for a long stretch. I mean, that one just went on forever, and so it's crazy just to think how successful that team ended up being after it finally settled in. But it was you know, interesting time, certainly. And you bring up Opryland. I mean, I remember that when the amusement park was here. You know, the Flume Zoom and the Wabash Cannonball and the Grizzly yes. River Rampage. And, you know, I was out there on a regular basis where I'm sure Joe's probably standing out there on the front gates now wondering when are they going to open the gates, hoping it's at 10 a.m.
Now, he didn't go through the front gate. He had a fun way to sneak in through over there by the river.
Who didn't?
I guarantee Joe never paid to get in Opryland. I'll tell you that. Hey, Jim, Commodores, they win tonight. You going to Omaha?
That's a good question. It's definitely on my radar. I wouldn't be able to make it until Monday of next week, which would set up a Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. But I mean, quite a dilemma, and it's gonna. We'll see how it plays out here over the next couple of days. I would go solo, which I'm not opposed to doing at all. I'd make the 11-hour drive to do it, but and I planned on doing it. But I've also I've got a wife who has a milestone birthday next Thursday. So if this game goes to Wednesday, and you know. I don't know what my conscience is going to be like as I drive through to some of those states and I'm not there. So I don't know.
You drive all night and get back, you know, that you wake her up the next morning with roses and breakfast in bed. Just drive back all night.
That's a possibility. I believe me, I've gone through a lot of different scenarios on how this could play out. So I can't stand the thought of not being there this year if Vanderbilt's in a position to win it. So we'll see.
You know, Jim, you do great work there, very well respected. You'd think that maybe just once that Amy Adams Strunk would let you use the plane, you know.
Yeah, if anybody's got a plane, I'd love to jump on one. I waited to book. I didn't book anything Southwest. It's impossible to get in and out of Omaha without having a connection, and thought about doing Kansas City, and then I thought, okay, I'm just going to wait and drive, because I don't mind driving. I like driving. I spend a lot of time in the car myself anyway. So, so we'll see. I'm not certainly not ruling it out at this point.
Give me a call. We'll see. All right. It's a bucket list for me. I mean, if they're in there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we'll put WNSR Cub reporter Greg Pogue on the job. So.
Is your private plane still in operation?
Yeah, it's. I've got it leased to Buzzard Airlines right now, but we're fine if we're downwind. Okay, we don't go up if we're into the wind. So anyway, well, Jimmy, thank you, buddy. Talk to you later.
Okay, you guys have a great day. Thank you.